Father, in the name of Jesus, you see all the needs of the people. We ask by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that the anointing of God, all praise God, the light of the gospel is shining through. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to penetrate in those lives right now. We thank you, Lord God. Open up our minds. So we're going to yield to you right now. We pray the prayer of submission, consecration, and dedication to you again. We lay our lives on the altar of sacrifice. We're giving our lives to you. And we thank you that you're going to make things new. Things that seem to be old, you're going to make it brand new again. Things that we used to love, but now we've gotten a little bit out of the taste of it. But you're going to make this a refreshing time. We give you praise for all that you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our topic today is continuing from the last few times I talked on a Wednesday, and that is transformation or transformed. And we're gonna talk about the shape of things to come. That's our title, The Shape of Things to Come. So we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm reading the King James Version. Then I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, the New Living Translation, as well as the King James. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2, this is our text. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Ephesians 4:23, the King James says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. New Living Translation says, instead, let God renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let God renew your thoughts and attitudes. The question tonight I have for you is, are you being conformed or transformed? Are you being conformed to this world or being transformed into the will of God that He has destined for you? Are you conformed to this world's thinking, this world's behavior, its patterns, its thoughts, its affections? Are you being transformed into the image of God, that the way He's designed, His will, His plans, His purposes? The enemy desires for us to be conformed to the things and patterns of this world, but God has a plan for you. So the enemy wants you to pattern after the world and what he has influenced in this world. He wants that to come inside you. He wants that to get a hold of your mind and focus on those things until it's branded inside your spirit. And when it's inside your spirit, your life will go in that direction. God tells us how we can be transformed into His very image, into His plan, His purpose, or His will. We can live like a sinner. Even if you're born again, you can live like a sinner or someone who's never known God. You can look like the world. You can act like the world. You can pattern your affections to the things of this world. Love this world. The Bible talks about it. 1 John, love not this world. And there's people who love this world. The Bible talks about Paul, you know, over there in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. He talks about that there was a man that he loved this present world. His name was Demas. The Bible says Demas loved this present world and he went back to the world. And so the devil wants to pull you back. He's not going to give up easily. And you might have been born again for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. The devil is trying to still pull you back into the thinking and patterns of this world. This thing, you know, I wish you could say that, you know, renewing of the mind is something that you do once or twice, or one great effort in a month of time or a couple of years, then you're done with it. But renewing your mind is like combing your hair. Now, you have to do it every day. Every morning, you have to wash your hair, comb it, put some stuff on it, make sure it doesn't stick up. And I put a lot of product in my, thank God for products. If it wasn't for products, I'd probably look like I don't know what it looked like. Last year's bird nest. And you have to learn how to, renew your mind like you comb your hair. Your hair doesn't get automatically combed and comes out looking good in the morning. So you have to decide every morning that you're going to renew your thoughts and you're going to pattern your thinking after God. Hallelujah. And this morning I was thinking about that and I began to focus on it. And I said, I'm going to grab a hold of my mind. You know, we say around here, your mind is your mind. Say this right now. Say, my mind is my mind. So you have to be able to know it's your mind and you can do whatever you want with that mind. You can use it for evil or you can use it for good. And so I thank God for that. So we can live like a rank sinner, as they say, without God or His will, knowing His will or His plan. Or we can live, you can live in this world without the plan of God, because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 there that we can know the will of God. And so we are being pressured daily to be influenced on a continual basis by this present world through the various methods that the devil has planned. He wants to plant in you what he wants to put into effect. And he does it through different ways, maybe perhaps the media and some things that you're watching, some maybe movies. Hollywood, they say, has an agenda. I'm not sure for sure if they know that they're doing that, but probably not. But there's an agenda there in the movies to make people feel a certain way, to make them think along certain lines. There's an agenda on the products that they're selling you. And the different things to buy a certain car, you'll be like this. If you buy a certain house or live in a certain place, you'll be better off, or you'll have this. And so you work and scratch away until you try to steal and get worried and work yourself through a fuss until you try to conform to a certain image that the world wants you to have. And so, you know, we all have been there and we've done it. And so we have to be careful about different things. This world is continually putting pressure on you. This world is always trying to make you feel inferior or less than or weird. If you're a Christian, this world will try to make you weird, feel like you're weird, you're different. And that the world will make you feel like you're not, you know, you're just right out of this planet. And of course we're not. We're not of this world, the Bible says. So the world is trying to continually mold you and shape you into the image that this world wants you, you know, who's behind it is Satan. And so if you're not careful, pretty soon you'll feel like the world, you'll look like the world. And if you're not careful, you'll start feeling you're being left out, you're missing out, and you're missing the fun that you should have. And then you go back to the world and you're beginning to do the things that they do. And so you have to be careful. It may seem that you're not connected right now. If you're a Christian, as a young person, as I became a Christian in my early 20s, I became Christian. I didn't turn out to be a nice person like I am today, and as wonderful as I am, and I didn't become that overnight. I had to change. It took some time for God. Thank God for His mercy. And I think about this: the mercy of God is brand new every single day. Lamentations, I believe, chapter 3 says that that God's mercy is new every morning. I read other scriptures in the scriptures that Psalmist says that the mercy of God is from generation to generation. In other words, it never ends. And if you're going through different things, you know, get into the mercy of God and pray the mercy of God upon your life. Rely on that mercy every day. We need to. We need to get onto the mercy of God every day. And every time someone wants healing, they say in the Bible, very many, they ask David, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, have mercy on me. The Bible says the Lord had compassion. That's the same word translated in the Hebrew and the original Greek language, New Testament, is that he had compassion or he had mercy, the same word. God is merciful today. He's merciful with you, and he doesn't say, I had it putting up with your crazy thinking. But the Lord, you know, He sees you. He knows every thought about you. He knows every thinking that you have. And so you don't try to hide from God. So this world is trying to continually mold you and shape you. If you're not careful, you're going to feel like you're left out. You're going to feel like you're weird for following God. This world wants to make you feel like you're weird. If you believe the Bible, you say, you believe that thing? Talking about the Bible. You believe that? You're with those Christians? Oh, I see you're with those people now, eh? And so they try to intimidate you to make you to be like them. And so we can't follow that pattern. The Bible says this about them, about those people that are without God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, New Living says, we know that we are children of God. You and I know that we are children of God, and that the whole world around us is under the control of the evil one. That's a big saying, man. We're saying that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, the scripture says that the whole world is under the influence of the devil. Over here in the 1 John 5, 9, the Amplified Bible says, we know for a fact that we are of God and that the whole world around us lies under the power of the evil one, opposing God and his precepts. See, this world doesn't want to conform, doesn't want to be molded in the image of God. It doesn't want that. It wants to be, you know, it wants to be patterned after the things of the enemy, the evil one. And so he's under the control. He's under control. A lot of people don't believe that. It doesn't make any difference if they believe it or not, because the Bible says it so. They're there. And it might not seem like they are, but it's there. You know, one time I was reading the scripture about the psalmist said, you know, why isn't everybody else not sick like me? Why am I always going through a hard time? Why is my kids having a hard time? Why do I have financial problems? Why do I have all this misery and tough time? Why do I have to do all this stuff? When I look at other people who don't follow God, they don't follow these words. They don't have any trouble. They don't have any pain. They don't have financial problems. Then the Lord opened up his eyes and saw the end of their lives. Then he understood. See, this world is opposing us. We have an enemy that's trying to stop us from walking in the things of God. That doesn't mean that you're out of the will when you're having trouble. It could mean that you're in the very will of God, and you're if you're going in the will of God against the grain, you're going up into a different level, a different road than the rest of the world. The Bible says the ways of the world is wide open. You can do whatever you want in this world, but the way of God is narrow. It's a narrow gate, narrow road, and so sometimes we have to walk, as they say, the straight and narrow. Change from the inside out. You know, if God's going to do anything, he's going to do something in you. Here it says, Romans 12, 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer. I'm reading the Amplified. With its superficial values and customs. And be transformed. Look at that. Be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. By renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. So that you may prove for yourself what is that will of God, or the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect in the plan and purposes for you. So, what does the word over here say? What does it mean to be transformed or to transform? It says, be ye transformed. Well, I looked up in a dictionary, and you can look at, in different ones you can want if you want to. Just a regular dictionary says this. It means to change in form. The word transform means to change in form. You know, in form. In appearance or structure. A metamorpho. It says a metamorpho. That's what the Bible says. Or the Bible says metamorphosis as well, but here it says in the dictionary, a metamorpho is change. To change in condition or character. To change into another substance or mutate. That's what the word means, to transform. God wants you to mutate. He wants you to change in condition. The condition of your life needs to change. The your character needs to be changed. You know, I don't know of anybody that says, I'm born again, I was born again. I was born again, you know, I was just perfect. I didn't have to change that much. But all of us need some changing. We need to change in our form, our appearance in this life, in the structure. And God needs to change in things on the inside of us. So biblically speaking, change happens only when we do something about it in our minds. The scripture tells us that. This transformation is going to happen only when we begin to change this up here, our in our minds. Change is in your control, not in God's control. God doesn't is not going to come there and shake you up and down and you know and beat you and do whatever. No, change is in your control. Prayer can help some. You know, people talk about prayer. Prayer changes things. You see those things. You know, it does change different things. But as far as you're concerned, as a person, you can pray all you want. You know, but only you can make the change that God wants to do in you and your mind. Prayer can help some, but in the final analysis, it's up to you to do something about your mind. The Bible tells us so. Romans 12, 2, that we need to do something with our minds. We need to be transformed. Be ye transformed. He said, in other words, you do something about your mind. You do something about your body. You do something about where you put your body, where you take your body, and what you put in your body. You do something about it. People say, I wish God would just take the cigarettes from me. Take this tobacco. Take this away from me. No, you're going to have to do something about it. You might do a little bit of a little bit of sweating. You might have to do a little bit of a gymnastics or whatever you have to do to change. You got to do something about it. So you can fast. You can pray. You can have people lay hands on you. You can have a group of intercessors all over the world praying for you, pastors, pastors' wives, prayer groups, praying for you night and day. But nothing's going to change until you begin to take control and you begin to use what God has given you. And prayer will open those doors. Prayer is going to open the door for you to walk through. Maybe the devil's closed doors on you and you're on the wrong road. And he put different doors and different ways there. And God can steer you away. And through intercession and prayer, God can help you. But in the final analysis, when you there's a certain time in your life, you're going to have to make those changes. So God needs your cooperation if real permanent change is going to happen in your mind and in your life. The devil is very subtle. He'll come to you in a way that he doesn't appear that he actually is the devil and that he wants something evil in your life. You know, if people knew that evil was going to happen, they'd never do a lot of the things they're doing because it seems really nice, okay, to do what they're doing. And finally, something happens to them until it's too late. So the devil is subtle. He'll come in and he'll convince you to do things other than what the Bible says. You know, we just read here. Let's go and read the scripture again. Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what is the will of God. So the Bible talks about in there that we need to pay very close attention and come out of that. So we need to ask God, to help us and expect Him to help us with different things He provides for us so that we can make that change. We can take the effort that He's given or the opportunity and put the effort into so that we can change. Let's go over here to Psalm 139, verse 1 and 2. He said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. This is 139:2. The New Living Translation says there, O Lord, You have examined my heart and know everything about me. God knows everything about you. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. He knows wherever you're going. He knows you're going certain places you shouldn't be going. He knows where you're standing. He knows where you're sitting. He knows where you're sleeping, who you're sleeping with and what you're supposed to be doing. He knows all that stuff. He said, You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. God knows your thoughts, the very thoughts that you have. God knows your thoughts before you even think about them. God knows your thoughts. No matter how much we consider about who God is, we can never really understand God. Yesterday I was laying in bed. I was telling the Lord, I just blows my mind. I can't understand how you don't have a beginning or you don't have an end. When did you start existing? Well, in my mind, in my three-dimensional world, I can only exist in this realm. God has no beginning, has no end. And so we, in lots of ways, we're like that because we won't. We'll have when we come to God, we'll never die. The Bible says. But then again, you know, you could live in a death mode for eternity if you don't come to God. The Scripture says that. So verse 4 says, "Thou compassest my path, my lying down; thou art acquainted with all my ways." The next verse says, "It says, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, thou knowest it altogether." You see, he says, verse 4, "When you travel and rest at home, you know everything I do." This is New Living, and you know what I'm doing or going to say even before I say it. That scripture is, it's amazing that God knows even when you're going to say something to through your mouth, he already knows what you're going to say. That's amazing to know that. How could you know someone's words before it ever comes out? Well, he knows your thinking. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything about you. And he knows your thoughts of your words before you even think them or say them. You know, let's ask ourselves this question. What are thoughts? Well, thoughts are words that are expressed through our mouth. So when you have a word coming out, it's actually a thought that's been planted in your mind. You know, a thought. Somebody said, you know, a thought, not because the devil can plant evil thoughts in your mind. And someone said, you know, a thought that's not expressed is an evil thought, not born. As far as the devil's thinking is concerned, and what he wants to plant in your mind. He said, verse 6, that thou besettest me, and before thou laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful, verse 6, too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. So did you know that God is so awesome that we can't understand him unless he reveals his thoughts to us? We can know in part, the Bible says we can know in part. And we could just know some things about God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29, God revealed to us what he wants, what needs to be revealed to us as far as his thoughts are concerned. But he gives us enough things so that we can make changes in our lives. Verse 139, verse 17 and verse 1780, we continue to say, how precious are your thoughts unto me, O God? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more numbered than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. New Living says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Verse 18 says, I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. So God's thoughts are beyond our understanding and expression. They are so numerous that we cannot count them. We cannot clearly know them unless God opens up our minds to this word or his understanding, what he's thinking. God's word, God's spoken word, God's written word are his thoughts. They're given to us. He gives us what he thinks. He wants us to think like him. He wants our minds to be in sync with his thoughts, so that we can follow him, so that we can do his will. We are transformed. Our lives are transformed by thinking God's thoughts. And he wants to give you what he's thinking. He says over here, Psalm 139, verse 23, 24, New Living. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. You know, when you're thinking wrong, God sees it. He sees what you're planning in your mind. So we need to be open to God's opinions about what he thinks about what we're thinking. We need input from him anyway if we're going to have change. Let him change you. Let him change your thinking. Let him transform you. We can pray and ask God along these lines and ask him to teach us about what he thinks about what we should be doing. Let's pray. We can pray verse 23. Search me, O God, and test me, show me. Show me my thoughts. Show me about what I'm thinking. Help me. Help me to correct my own thinking. We got to pray that kind of prayer and be open to God and let him say, God, I want you to transform my thinking. Let me think like you think. When I'm worried, let me think what I should be thinking when I have a tendency and when I have the temptation to worry. Let me know what to think. When I'm angry and when I want to backlash and when I'm mad at someone, let me think about what you want me to say, what you want me to think about. We need a thought then. So what is a thought? God saw over here in Genesis chapter 6, 5. Let's look at that and say, let's ask ourselves to continue this question. What is a thought? And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that his every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continually. This is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. New Living Translation says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently totally evil. That's awful, man. That's really wicked. Man's thoughts, it says here, was always evil. Everywhere, all over the world, that when God was looking down, that everywhere, every person all over the world at that time, the Bible says that man's thoughts was evil. Everywhere. It was continuously going on. What was wrong? What happened to them? Why did they have so much evil in their minds? What was going on to their lost condition? You know, they needed a Savior like we need a Savior today. They needed salvation and changing like we need today. The Bible shows us. Well, there's something about this that the God of this world had blinded their minds. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 gives us enlightenment in terms of what was going on with them under the New Covenant, under the New Testament. You know, without the New Testament, we would not know the will of God. We would not understand the things of God. It says, but if our gospel be hid, Paul is talking to the Corinthians, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, that's why people said that, once I was lost, I was blind, but now I see. I'm found now. I used to be lost. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel. In other words, they're filled with darkness. Light comes in and they get to see. You know, light has to come into man. So that the light has to shine, the light of the glorious gospel, the word has to shine on someone, then you know what the will of God is. Then you know what to think, how to think right. So, you know, God wants to shine his light tonight. God wants to shine his light this morning, wherever you are, whatever time you are. God wants to shine his light at this time in you and show you some things where you've been wrong. And how you thought, and how you have to be open first. And in Matthew, Mark chapter 4, the Bible says that God only can help an open and honest heart. Mark chapter 4. He can only help the honest and open heart. If you just say, Lord, I want to be honest, and I want to be open. You know, years ago when I was an alcoholic, drinking, doing the same thing over, I was insane. They say insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over. You know, we want change, but kept doing the same thing, but nothing helped, nothing changed. Well, insanity was every time I woke up in jail, it was all the same thing. Lord, get me out of this. Help me to get out of this. Or when I was afraid of, when I was full of fear and I was living wrong and I began to experience fear and anxiety, afraid that somebody might find out what was going on in my life and what wrong I did. I was living in constant fear. See, people want peace, but they don't want to change their lives. People, they don't want bills keep coming to their house, but they don't want to change their spending. See, you got to make a change. Don't come home one day and say, look at Lord, honey. You know, look at, I bought a nice truck for us. Well, she said, I don't need no truck. I need you to clean the house. And so we need to change our minds. So imagination run wild. Everybody say, imagination run wild. Say that at home. Say, I won't let my imagination run wild. Say that to yourself. I won't let my imagination run wild. Okay, one more time. I won't let my imagination run wild. Say that again. I won't let my imagination run wild. Somebody said, you got a wild imagination. You know, people always say that. You know, I remember saying that. I used to like saying that because I used to like teasing people. Still do. Notice over here in Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32, these people had their imaginations run wild, and God had to let them loose and let them think what they want to think because they didn't want God. Read the whole chapter. I'm just going to read you some verses of Scripture here. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. I'm reading the New Living. Since they thought it was foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their own foolish thinking to let them do the things that they should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises. They are heartless. They have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. So here's people, their imagination went so wild, they're capable of doing anything. I one time heard Brother Hagin said, a rank sinner, he can do whatever he wants. He's almost like a psychopath or a sociopath. A sociopath, he's got no kind of, he doesn't have any kind of conscience, or at least, I'm not sure how to describe it, but they don't have any sense of wrong or feel bad about anything. They can do something and kill a man and just go and eat supper. They won't feel anything. And so they go on doing these kind of things. I'm sure they must go through some kind of struggle, but that's what they describe. I don't understand it all. I'm not a criminologist. I'm not a psychologist, but I can understand some things about criminology and psychology and stuff like that. And I listen to Dateline too, different things on television. I try to learn and be an investigator. Pretty soon, you read those things, you're suspicious of everybody. You got to watch what you listen to. Anyways, I don't know if I should have this on tape. We're going to have to edit this for television. But anyways, everybody in that scripture we just read, they're just like, look at all the stuff they're doing there without God. Without God, you can just do whatever you want to do. And just be your own measure of ethical practices. There's a saying, a man was a measure of his own. I can't remember what the saying was, but you can just do what you want to do and without God and just live the way you want to live. Sometimes you have to look at people and wonder what they're thinking of and I have to be reminded, you have to be reminded, we all have to be reminded that not everybody has the plan of God. They don't know the will of God. We can only know things unless God shows us. And it says in this scripture, even though they knew, they went ahead and did it anyway. You ever been there? I think you've been there. You've done things. You said, Lord, please turn your back. I just want to do some things over here. And so they went ahead and do it. So what is the thought? Genesis 6:5 again. It says, and God saw the wickedness of man was greater on the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So a thought means, the word thought itself means, the word thought means to weave and to fabricate. The word thought in the scripture is to weave and to fabricate, And the word imagination or to imagine means to mold or to shape. That's where the word comes from. See, the devil wants to mold you and shape you. He wants to fabricate something what he has about intentions about your life. He wants to weave you into his own patterns and his own values. And God wants it too. He wants to change you into what he wants. God's thoughts can shape you and create you into a form of a new person, of a new man. Jesus prayed for us when he was on earth, he prayed for us so that we change into do what he wants, God's will in our lives. So the Bible says when Jesus comes, when Jesus appears, we're gonna see Jesus as he is, and we're gonna know who we are the way he created us to be, and to be like him, to be in his own image. The Bible says we'll be changed in twinkling of an eye, and it will be we'll look just like him. You know, glory to God. Here in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, New Living says, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we'll be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is, as he really is." You know, we don't understand all that stuff about the things of what we should look like, but it's going to tell us we're going to have some glorious changes going on over here. Certainly, if Jesus came, you know, we're going to change. Jesus said some people are not going to die. There's going to be people living here alive when he comes. That's amazing. And the moment, took a little life, you're going to change. Your body's going to change into the image of what Jesus had. We're going to have spiritual bodies that are going to be renewed. We can just fly around, walk through buildings, do it like a Superman. You know, the things in the future are going to change as we shape our lives and make ourselves transplanted into the things of what God wants us to be like. Let's look at Jeremiah 18 and 2 and Isaiah 64 and 8. This will assist us to know about the shape of things to come, because we saw, you know, the Bible says, or the thought, you know, means a weave or a fabricate, and to imagine means to mold into it. That's where those words come from. But let me just show you something over here. Your actions, you know, all of our actions was once a thought. You know, your actions, that whatever you do, is because something you've been thinking about in the past somewhere along the line, and so your actions was in the form of a thought before, fabricating a future, a shape of things to come. So always watch what you think about. Proverbs 4:23, the Good News Bible says, "Be careful how you think; your life is shaped by your thoughts." And that's the way it is. Let's go look over here. Isaiah 64, verse 8, New Living says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." In other words, God fabricates. God shapes you. God shapes you. God patterns you. God fabricates you and shapes you. I want you to have that in your mind. Because the scripture says that God does this. He's seen as a potter, and he shapes the clay, and he patterns it, and he fabricates, you know, whatever he wants. The Bible says over here, let's go down to Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 2-6, New Living. "Go down to the potter shop, and I'll speak to you there. So I did as he told me, and he found the potter working at his wheel. But the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped, so he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Then the Lord gave me this message, 'O Israel, can I do to you as this potter has done to the clay? As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand.'" So the Bible says that God shapes, he wants to shape you and mold you into what the pattern that he wants for your life. And so here's the question: where was the clay before it was in the potter's hand? Where was the shape of the clay? Where was the actual pot? Where was it? The pot that you see, the finished product, where was it before it was ever in the potter's hand? Well, it was in the potter's mind. See, God has a thought about our lives in his mind, and he wants to translate those thoughts to us so that we can be fashioned and fabricated into his own image, and what He wants in our lives. So we were in the mind of God. Our shape of our lives was in the mind of God. He shaped us into His image, and what he wanted in His mind, what His thoughts were. So the question was, where was Adam before he became into being? Well, he was in the mind of God before he was ever created. You know, we all come from Adam and Eve, and He shaped us into what He wanted. And right now, God's doing some work in you right now. I like the scripture of there where it talks about God, He gives you the will and the desire to become what He wants us to become, even when we don't desire it. He'll even give you the will to make the changes. So if you desire change and you don't want to change, hey, you need to pray for the will, God's will, to become your will so that you'll change into the image. I thank God for that. In fact, let's go over there, Philippians. I want to just go over there right now. And we're gonna change this whole thing over here. Praise God, amen. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I believe we're gonna go. Glory to God. Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. If it's not, it says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Well, sometimes, the King James is not that clear, and it's sometimes good to read other verses of Scripture because it gives you a little bit more, another angle. And the good news is, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey His own purpose. So we don't always want to follow God, but if we just lay down our lives to God, I'm going to lay my life down in Your hand, and my life doesn't look like it's anywhere where it should be, and I don't feel like it's anywhere where it should be, and in my mind, I don't think I'm reflecting what I should be. Right now, they say you're under construction, and you don't look like the way you should look like. Maybe your life doesn't resemble what God wants you, but you can change that, and maybe you don't want to change, as we were talking about, but God can give you that willingness to do what He wants you to do. Over here, the New Living says this: "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." And I pray for you tonight that God will give you the desire, the willingness to do what He wants you to do. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say amen? I want to look at this other scripture here earlier. I want to look at verse 6, I believe it is. And thank God. I think it's verse 6 or verse 3. I don't know. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, He's good. I think it's chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 6. He's talking to Philippians, the Philippians, Paul talking to them. He says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you," He began a good work in you when you got born again, "will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The New Living says this: "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it's finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns." I want you to understand this. Don't feel discouraged that maybe you haven't changed the way you wanted to change. But remember that God is fashioning you, and the more you get God's will into your mind, the more you get God's word into your mind, the more you'll change, and the more you'll start looking like Jesus. That's the spiritual growth that we're looking at. A thought is a spiritual form of substance of what God wants us to have. So God wants to change your life. So I want you to understand today that there's things are going to happen that's going to change. And if you can imagine the things of God, you know, in the future, think about it, you know, you read this, the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know, that God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life. It's a good plan. It's a wonderful plan. It has no pain in it, has no poverty in it. God didn't plan for you to have poverty. He didn't have for you to plan any kind of heartaches. And He's got a wonderful plan for your life. And God wants to get that into your mind so that you can have start shaping you and working on you in the inside. Like Philippians chapter 2 over here says that, in verse 13, that if you become willing to have God's will to be put in you, into your mind, into your heart, so they can shape you for the future. The shape of things to come is happening right now as you receive the Word of God. So let's go ahead and pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord God, as we yield our lives to You right now, I want everybody as listening to this Word right now, I want you to give your heart to God again. You're born again Christian. You're saved. The Bible says this is one prayer we never stop praying about, and that is the prayer of submission. You do that every day, as many times as you can throughout the year. Pray the prayer of submission and dedication to God. Father, we dedicate our lives to You. We dedicate our minds, our bodies. We give You our bodies. We pray to dedicate as You continue to work in us, as we listen to Your Word, as You shape our thoughts, as You shape us, to become more in the image, changing from glory to glory into the image as You want us to be. So I thank You today as I yield my temple, I yield my mind, and every emotion, I flush out every negativity, everything that's causing me stress, everything that's causing me pain, everything that's causing me to be restless, everything that's causing me stress and worrisome. I yield that. I give that up to You. I lay it on the cross. And forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for being stressed out and not leaning on You. You said that You'll keep him in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is fixed on You. So I want to thank You for peace as I go to sleep tonight. I'm not going to worry a thing. You're going to change everything the way it should be. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost that things that might have, could have happened to me is going to change. Not only for me, but for my children and for my family, for my ministry, for my business, for my work. In Jesus' name, I thank You in advance. Let's go ahead and thank Him. Praise Him and say, Father, I praise You. Go ahead and thank Him because He is doing it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if you've never been born again, you know, Jesus is the Son of God and He's the Savior of the world. And if you will ask Him and come, let Jesus said, Jesus, I don't know for sure. I've heard that You're the Son of God, but I believe that the Bible says, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I confess You right now, Lord. I could ask You, come into my life. Forgive me. I'm turning away from my sin. I repent from my sin. Repent from my old ways, my old thinking, my old habits. I'm giving You my life. As far as I can understand, I'm giving You my whole life. Come inside of me, forgive me my sin. Thank You. I'm now saved. Because Jesus, You're Lord, You're Savior, my life. Amen and amen.